This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Got everything working smoothly.
Man, I was just about to say, we got the phone lines working. We're calling the guys, checking in.
So, knock on wood when you say that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, let me go ahead and knock.
I'm telling you.
Hey, we're going to be rock and roll in the second hour for sure. Hopefully nothing happens.
That's good. Well, I'm going to rock and roll over to Venice, Louisiana, and let's talk to old Mike Jeffcoat, see what's up with him this morning. Captain Mike, what's up?
Not much, Mickey. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on over there, man?
Rocking and rolling.
I knew it.
I swear, get one day out of the week, it seems like, that, you know, we got great weather, and then here we go again.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice and cool here this morning, though.
Yeah, here, too.
You know, it feels
good, bro. Feels good.
Yeah, it does. Matter of fact, I just come out the door and thought about turning around, go back and get me some pants to put on and get out of these shorts. But I know it's going. But, man, I had a great day yesterday till about 10 o'clock, and all that mess come through and run us off the water. And
yeah.
There we go. But, you got me?
Yeah, I got you, man.
Well, knew y'all was having a problem with phone lines. I just got in the truck. It's transferred over, so.
No, we just had that first segment. We had something go wrong. I don't think it was anything up here. It was just something to do with the phones.
Right.
But it's all good now.
You know, had a great week last week other than the wind, you know, back there hurt us. But I sight fished five straight days, and it, luckily them fish was so far back in that stuff, the wind didn't affect it too bad. So,
yeah.
You know, that was a lot of fun and a change of pace, you know. I love sight fish, but not everybody can do it or wants to do it. So then my Pennsylvania guys are in here, and they're all about the bull red. They cooperated day before yesterday really good early. I mean, right off the bat, we catch one nearly every cast. But boy, after about 8:30 till 11 o'clock, it was like fishing in a bucket with a hole in it because there was nothing in it. then they fired back up there for the last part of the day, and we managed to catch a few more. So, the guest morning, I got to go to the east side where I really like the fish the best.
Right.
Running across there and blew up five or six with the boat. I just shut down, and they was nosing around the boat, just sticking a nose out of the water, looking at me, and couldn't make a meet. And we knew we was on a time line there with that front coming. And so I run another 4 or 5 miles and couldn't find nothing. I said, well, we're going back, boys. Get back closer and try to see if these fish will bite. We pulled up on them, and it was, you could catch one every cast, and they'd be 7 or 8 following. It was just, you know, right before that front, though, it fired them up, and they was really deep. So. I even caught one myself yesterday, and my customer, he laughed. He said, yeah, I've been fishing for you 10 years, and I've never seen you catch a bull red. He said, I've seen you hook one and hand a rod to somebody, but never seen you catch one. I said, well, I didn't have a lot of choice because you and your brother both had one on, and you had 7 of them following yours, and I couldn't stand it. I had a spoon on a rod there, and I just picked the rod up and towed that spoon out of me. Well, that big old nasty was eating. I held on long enough for them to get theirs close, and I put him in a rod holder and netted their first one and handed that rod to them. And so we wound up with a triple on the boat, and it's kind of cool.
I used to do that when we'd get them old reds. I'd throw out and hook one, set the hook and set it in a leaning post rod holder, and then do another one like that. And while, you know, just keep them going, you know.
Absolutely.
They'd get all theirs in. I'd throw them on the floor and said, hey, there's two more back there in the back. Y'all reel them in and let this guy cast out and get another. We'll just keep them going. They're kind of like them chicken dolphins. You just got to keep them going.
Keep them going. Well, that was like yesterday. They got so thick and eating so hard, they were running into my boat.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, no, I just looked at the radar and all that mess up there still. I sure hope that misses me. I think it will.
I was just reading up on that during the break, and it's got a 50% chance of development over the next 5 days. And it's in the southern Gulf, and at disturbance, it's expected to produce heavy rains during the next couple of days, which is going to hurt Mexico a little bit. They're talking maybe floods and mudslides and all that in the mountainous areas of Mexico. But it's forecast, you know, to emerge over the Bay of Campeche and then gradually turn north towards you from the southern Gulf of Mexico, where, you know, conditions could become favorable, you know, for tropical or subtropical development to form up. But computer models are indicating that it should stay offshore in front of us over, you know, Texas way, and then push eastward towards Louisiana or Mississippi. Direct impacts over here are unlikely, and hopefully it's the same for you too. Y'all don't need any more rain, man.
No, we know. It was funny. It rained probably 3 inches at the rain of yesterday. I mean, I kept telling them guys that, I told them when we left the rain yesterday morning, I looked at the timeline and I said, look, 9:30 pretty much is going to be the latest time for us to head back this way. But, you know, they're pretty spot on with that stuff now. And we get out there and them fish and they just hand kept. I think we got a little more time. You know, you don't want to get wet, you have a rough ride back. We don't have much time.
Right.
So they pushed me another 10 minutes. And now we got headed back. We got to get rain suits on. We got to get all that. I said, guys, we need to be rolling. You need to be putting that on while we're rolling. I don't need to be idling. And finally, we got all situated there. And I was running about 42 miles an hour. Getting back close to the river and got my own service. And I looked at it and I said, here we go. Not going to make it. So I had to light it up. I run back at about 55 and got to the marina. Boy, they was all happy. Man, Kev, that was a great move. He done great. I said, all right, get off the boat. I got to go get my truck. I didn't get my truck, and it unleashed.
Then God showed up.
God showed up in this period. I got back to the boat. They was already about 4 inches in the bottom of the boat while I was trying to load it.
Man.
Yeah.
But raining cats and dogs, man.
Yeah, it was raining cats. And then I get back to Paris at lodge, and we just got a light shower there. So that was a bonus for me. Because it's October, 17th, something like that?
Yes, it is.
Grass.
Yep.
I got some pretty grass right now, I can give you that. But
yeah, everybody does. Yeah. I don't know how this little deal yesterday, I got another inch and a half. It just keeps coming.
Yes.
Boy, where's this in the summer when you need it for your lawns?
Yep. That's about rest said they got 2 inches of Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it's all great. You know, and the river is, yesterday morning was absolutely gorgeous. Just beautiful. You know, but we're still on these big high tides. And it finally pulled pretty good yesterday, went out, and had us for the last couple of days. And, you know, when it pulled that hard, it dirty things back up.
Right.
And, I guess Sunday, I did catch one trout in the river. I wasn't fishing with trout, I was red fishing. Just keep a redfish, and I caught a trout. I said, here we go, in time. But I'm still, you know, we're 80 degrees, the water's still 80 degrees. I just need to go down to the river, not to jump up. It's a big trout run, I know. Buddy of mine, back 4 years today, he caught 45. He didn't have a trout, not one, under 20 inches.
Man.
Not a, yeah, not one. 45 of them, over 20, up to 27 inches. It was crazy. And he said, absolutely, he said, Jeff Goat, a customer actually made a bad cast and found them trout. He said he just knows the wind was kind of blowing. He said he just throwed off kind of the back of the boat. And the wind got it, took it out there. He said, got one, Cap. He turned around and looked, seen that big old trout stick his mouth up. He said, there they were. And I said, well, you know, that's how that goes. I mean, they was on water bait right there. He found them.
Yep.
Now, some of the guys that made the run to the islands, you know, when they do get that window. But that window is not very good. It's good early in the morning, but the ride back is really bad. But they've been going out there, and, yeah. You know how that is.
Oh, I don't like that. Not anymore.
No. No. But, you know, they can go out there and get them. But they're 12, 14 inch trout. You know, they're. Nothing to them. But them big trout, they're laying right here close, and they're ready to go crawl into that river. So,
the trickle will begin pretty soon. The cooler it gets, the more it'll come in. You know, they'll just keep moving up.
Well, I'm 70 degrees this morning. I'm looking at it here in the truck. It's setting at 70, and that's been going, well, that ain't very cool. I said, well, for a minute, that's wonderful, you know, especially this time of year.
So, yeah. I think Galveston's 62. We're 62 this morning in Galveston.
And, you know, we're not going up to about 74 today, so that's, that'll help a bunch. And after the rain, just today, the water's going to start cooling now. And we ought to start getting some river water that's cooling down from north.
We're going to pull some good northeast winds with this, so that's going to bull them tides up even more over here. Northeast bull your tides up over there too?
Absolutely.
I thought it would.
All our water drains to that east the most. You know, we don't have a drainage in the west hardly. And it's you know, on top of what we're on right now with Equinox and in that northeast, I wish you wouldn't have said that word, because, you know, that's death. And, you know, it just, you know, I've had a southwest wind for the last, what is it, Thursday?
Thursday, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thursday.
I've had a southwest, and, you know, it's been pleasant, and a lot of clean water fish, and, but now it goes back. You know, yesterday was the first day I got to go over there on the east side, and everything was gorgeous. Never saw another boat by myself all day. Well, short day, but, you know, it's just pleasant. And, you know, now it's going to be a mud hole over there.
Well, I wish you the best today.
I have no clue right now. I'm going to be honest with you. It's just... you know, I know I can't go to that east side, so it's just going to be where am I going to wind up on this west side.
Right.
You know, problem of it is everybody will be on the west side. It'll be a little crowded today. I'm chasing them bull reds. Majority of the guys are, too. I would say at least 75% of the guys are chasing bull reds right now. And so that will that'll crowd us up. You know, you hear the radio talk, you're going to go to them. You know, if somebody's on them, you're going. So,
oh, yeah.
You don't have a choice. So,
all right, man. Well, I wish you the best today. Good luck with all that, and I'll see what I can do about steering that storm away from you.
I hope you do, brother.
Golly, we don't want any more of that mess, man. Well, throw them out a number, Mike.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting Fishing.
All right, buddy. You have a good one, and I'll talk to you Saturday. I'll pop you then.
All right, buddy.
Later. Thanks, Mike. See you. All right, that's old Captain Mike Jeffcoat over in Venice, Louisiana. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 521 right here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to G-Town. Let's talk to our man, Captain Michael Sharkey Marquez. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How we doing?
What's going on, man?
Man, I am living the dream.
Yes, we are. I'm not going to let you get by that with just you. We all are.
That's right, isn't it? Man, we're breathing, we're awake, we're alive this morning. Things could be worse.
Yes, they could.
And, man, most importantly, we're smoking on some flounder.
I've been seeing your little flounder picks there, man. That was a pretty table the other day you had there. Was that full limits for everybody in the boat?
It was full limits. I've had.
Golly, that's nasty, man. That's good. That's awesome.
Thank you.
It hasn't even started yet. I mean, it's just getting going.
Thank you, man. It's been really, really good for us. Smoking some fatties and I'm not scared to share some information on what I'm catching them on either.
Oh, I know you're not. You never are. But are you fishing that flatty tournament tomorrow? Who's your flatty daddy or whatever it's called?
Yeah, it's Saturday tournament. So I think
Saturday.
And I'm gonna fish that son of a gun, and hopefully I do good. But you know what? It's just a fun tournament because there's so many great people there, and you know it's a nice little fishing community gathering. So everybody knows each other, and man, it'll just be a good time to get out on the water and make some memories, man. It's the one thing me and my dad do every year is fish that tournament together. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, now, is that for just the biggest flatfish for the tournament? Is that how that works?
No, what's neat is there's a whole bunch of categories.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah, there's stringer, heaviest stringer, that's heaviest five, and then they've got a blackjack category, which is pretty neat, so the closest to 21 without going over. And then they've got the heaviest flounder. And then the funniest category is it's a toaster category. So it's the two smallest legal flounder combined. So the measurement combined. So you know, like 28 and a quarter inches would be, you know, like super good. But that's what's kind of neat about it is anybody can enter, whether you're a really awesome fisherman or whether, you know, you're just catching a whole bunch of small flounder, you could still win, still have an opportunity to get into money, and it's really good money. So, I think it's
the prize money I saw on that? Like 25 grand for the biggest flounder or something? Is that how that works?
Yeah, they've got – so this year there's a whole bunch of jackpot categories. So, you know, if you get in your category a win and it's point – you know, your flounder weighs .00 something exactly – it's like a bonus category, so you can $25,000. And but pretty interesting. I know last year they had some really precise weigh-in stuff for some extra bonuses, and people hit it. So we'll see.
That'd be like the winning flounder, say was exactly 8.00. That would bring
exactly.
The big cash.
Okay. Exactly.
I understand now.
So, or you know, if you're like heaviest stringer, you know, was like
and it comes out evenly like that with a .00.
Mm-hmm. 15 pounds or something, you know.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I'm looking for that 10-pounder.
You think? You and everybody else.
That's right. I mean, I will say I have been on a very good flounder bite along with a lot of my good buddies out there at the Yacht Basin, but I haven't seen anything crazy big yet, so
it's gonna be interesting.
I know last year 4.5 or right under 5 pounds won the heaviest flounder, so that was, you know, it's a one-day tournament, so there's a lot of lines in the water to catch that 5-pounder.
Well, I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be a flounder swimming around down in that area this weekend.
No kidding. And a lot, you know, a lot of the parts of the channel are actually closed off right now due to dredging and, you know, whatever else they got going on. So it's actually, if you're planning on fishing the channel, good luck. There's going to be, you know, 500 people trying to fish that one stretch of land there. It's going to be,
timed that perfect, dredging in the fall flounder run in that channel. That's,
they always do.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, they've got all year to do it, and they wait till the flounder migration to do it.
It's a sad thing, especially when you're sitting there nailing fish and you see that chocolate milk color line coming in, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, here we go. But I'll tell you what, Mickey, I've been catching them on a quarter-ounce jig head, and I've been using – a lot of people stay away from, you know, or maybe not stay away, but a lot of people don't know about these, but I use the mud minnow, or it's a mud minnow. It's a 4-inch mud minnow is what they classify it as. And it's, you know, I'll be throwing gulp or, you know, chicken boy lures and all that good stuff. But the mud minnow I've been really crushing the fish on, I use a teal and orange. It's a real out there crazy looking color. And then also a color called the electric chicken.
Oh yeah, and we know about the electric chicken.
Yeah,
that's what I call puke truce. It's pink and chartreuse.
That's exactly right. And man, I've been smoking fish on the electric chicken. I know that they're really reacting to that crazy color. A lot of my buddies are throwing those just regular little, I'm not sure what they're classified as in gulp, but they're those little grub worm, you know, yellow tails or pink tails or whatever. So those are always great to throw for them flounder. But I really like working that mud minnow has been a huge successful bait year round for us, whether we're targeting reds or trout or whatever. Me and my dad, that's our favorite bait to throw. So favorite lure, that mud minnow, new penny, all that good stuff is good.
The deal is figuring out the depth of the water they're patterning in and be able to take one of those baits across them, and they will eat it this time of year. They're very aggressive.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, out of all those flounder that we've been catching, I can't say that I felt a really good thump, you know, that traditional flounder thump.
Yeah, they're just picking it up.
Exactly. And man, we 2 days ago, I think we caught 50 something flounder.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy, but not one, at least for me, on my rod and reel actually just thumped it. Just a real light pickup and kind of sitting on feeling. Or maybe just a dead stop, but not a thump. But that's always fun, you know, when it gets real cold and they're just smoking that bait.
Yeah, and in the past when I used to fish for them quite a bit, when we had a lot of them up my way, especially at the bayou drains and river mouth and all that this time of year, they'd kind of pull that light by it or hold on to the tail type deal. And when I would, after I'd skip it, you know, a little bit across the bottom, I'd hop it up a little bit and then drop it back down. When they'd pick it up, I'd just drop my rod tip and give them just a little bit of slack, enough slack to where they wouldn't feel me, but I could still feel them. And then when they'd go ahead and suck it in, then cross his eyeballs, and then it was on.
They was on like Donkey
Kong.
Yeah,
you had to worm, I call it worming them. You had to worm them just a little bit. And, It was kind of finesse fishing until they got really going. And then, you know, once you get another cold front, that water drops some more, then the thump starts, man. That's when they just pile on it.
Right. Man, and it's crazy. You know, you say those flounders, you know, stacking, and that just sparks something. But it's crazy how those flounder actually stack up. Physically, yeah, I mean, pretty much on top of each other. It's crazy.
Cordwood, man. They're just piled up. Drop a bait in there and hope a big one grabs it.
That's it, man. That's it.
Awesome.
Last night we pulled up into this little inlet, and me and Pops were pre-fishing and pulled up into this little cove, and he's fishing. He's like, man, that corner's going to have some fish on it. And he cast about 10 times in there, and I sailed mine in there right there in that corner, and first cast I nailed one. And I said, dang, Dad, you know, I got it unhooked, put in my well. I said, dang, Dad, let me show you how to do it again right there. I bet there's another one sitting right there. And I was just messing with him, kind of talking some smack. And I pulled three flounder out of there and three casts. He was livid. He was livid, man. Oh,
yeah,
my
that's
gosh.
Cool. Well, hey, but man, right if here, somebody wants to get in on the action, and when do they switch to two? Is it November 15th?
Yeah, it's December. What is it? Don't get me lying on the radio. I need to recheck, but I think it's like the 1st or the 15th of December. It's like right there in that prime time.
Oh, okay. So you got all of November with five.
I believe so. Look at me. Okay. Look.
I'll look it up during the break.
Big trouble.
Yeah.
They're going to say, Sharky, that guy down there in Gallatin don't even know the flounder.
No, we got too many rules and regulations, man. I don't carry a book in my back pocket, but I'll look it up during the break and verify it. But
that's
if somebody
right.
wants to come down and fish with you and get without cash charters, what's the best way to get a hold of you fellas down there?
Absolutely. So they can hop onto our website and book right there online. Book a flounder expedition. It's one of our trip options. Our website is outcastfishing.com, and then also check us out on Facebook at Outcast Charters. It's all spaced out, and stay tuned for all the action.
Yes, sir.
Fixing to go down. It's going to be a great flounder season this year. So come out and see us and enjoy it with us.
Sounds good, Michael. Hey, always a pleasure talking to you. I'll check in with you Saturday morning. Check your pulse.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Mike. See you, bud.
Thank you.
Later. All right, that's Sharky Marquez down in G-Town.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
One time I lived in Colorado, and I got pretty good at coming home and bringing two empty ice chests. When I flew back, they'd be full of something good, right?
Right.
And so one time I decided I was going to take crawfish back. We had two big old sacks of crawfish, and it wouldn't all fit in my big ice chest, you know. So we dumped the rest in one of the little bucket coolers and taped it up pretty good. So whenever I got to Stapleton Airport in Denver, the first thing that came down the you know, conveyor belt with the luggage was a crawfish. Those guys, that ice chest, it busted open. They set that little sucker on that conveyor belt. He came back, had his peaches out, was ready to get somebody. And then every Louis Vuitton bag that came through there, whatever, had a crawfish sitting on it. And so at the very end was my Bucky's ice chest. And I waited till everybody left before I went over and got all my crawfish. I had to gather them all up and put them back in that hole.
Oh, my Lord.
You got your early morning sickos living an outdoor dream. They hunt and fishing all the time, and it ain't working. Beats all I've ever seen.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go. Me, oh my.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 5:40 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down G-Town Way. Let's talk to our good friend. I'll just call him Little Rat. Been a good friend of mine for a long time. James Plogg, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
What are you doing?
Oh, man. Take some roll out of here.
Hey, I didn't talk to you all week, man.
Man, I know it. I talked to Steve. I said, hey, man, you talked to Mickey? He said, yeah, I talked to him one time. And, no, we've been rolling, trying to fix a boat. But fishing was good, though, man. It was.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better for us anyway.
Yeah, we didn't go yesterday.
Sorry, old lure fishermen. We're finally starting to catch them.
Yeah, for sure. But, no, I was going to go yesterday. And I said, man, you know, I had a cancellation from Wednesday, so I just moved my guys. But it worked out. It was dead slick at 4 o'clock. The front, it kind of hit, and then it didn't. But we had, you know, all them storms and stuff.
I know it, man. There was some lightning. There was a lot of electricity in that stuff yesterday morning.
Well, the weather don't buy. We fished in that stuff Monday. Matter of fact, I left about an hour before dark Monday. It was pouring down rain, pitch black, couldn't see nothing. I told him, I said, man, we don't go right now. We're just going to miss out what I got going. We got to go. But there wasn't no wind. Even in all them storms, it was dead slick.
Yeah, it was gone.
And they bit. I mean, I think we caught 30 trout, a red. Didn't catch no flounder. But we caught like 21, like as soon as we stopped. I mean, it was, you know, they were going off. But then they kind of bit again, you know, about 9.
Right.
But, you know, it was. There wasn't no sun. It was raining and all that stuff. But it was dead slick the whole day. And Tuesday, most of the day, it was slick. And it was about the same Tuesday. I think we caught when we catch. I think we caught 27 trout, 3 reds. Did catch a big flounder, about 4 pounds.
Yeah, getting back to that flounder limit, Sharky and I were talking about earlier.
It's November 1.
Yeah, it is. The daily bag is 5 fish, and it starts November 1st through the 30th. It's 2 fish by polling line only. And then from December 1st through the 14th, when it's still 2 fish, you can gig some. And
then I think the only time no gigging is just November.
Right, and then you can go back to the 5 fish deal December 15th. So,
yeah. Well, the flounder fishing, you know, we talked about it a bunch. It's been good all year, and I caught that one by mistake. I thought about where I was fishing. I was fishing like a little drain. I said, man, I think I got a stick. When I first hooked him, then I saw it kind of move. I said, no, I got a fish. I said, I think it's a big flounder. That was the biggest one I've caught all year. We've caught a bunch, you know, nice flounder, but that's the biggest one that we've caught. Yeah. I didn't weigh him, but he was probably 4 pounds. And the size of the fish had gotten a little bit better, you know, the trout. You know, most of it, when we're stopping the first time, everything we're catching is good ones. And then you kind of got to peck around. But, it, you know, instead of being 1 in 10, it's, you know, 1 in 5, 1 in 4.
Mm-hmm.
The water temperature got down. Sunday was terrible. I didn't have a bite Sunday. But then I changed
my remember
race.
That's the last day I talked to you was Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
when I was having my, you know, sports junkie, typical Sunday marinade. But,
that's right. I talked to you on the way home.
Yeah, you did. You called me.
That shrimp color and then that slamming chicken, you know, purple and them little metal flakes. Same deal, a little 8 pounds, pro elite head. We're fishing real shallow water. Everything I'm fishing is, you know, hip deep, and then it drops off. Everywhere I'm fishing is like that. So the fish want to be shallow. But the water temperature came up. What was it when I come in yesterday, day before? It was 68, 69. I think it was almost 75 when I come in Tuesday. Tuesday got hot again. It was dead slick till about noon.
It was hot Tuesday because I was doing some work, and it was so muggy. The humidity was horrible.
Well, that's because all that rain we had, you know, what the
yeah,
other day was.
It just, oh, man, it was like a sauna. It was only like 90 degrees, but it was hot.
It was hot. I'm going to have to put some stuff on today. It's kind of cool down here.
Layer
but,
up.
But, you know, I think they're, you know, the fish are showing. I mean, Steve's catching some fish where he ain't caught nothing. I'm catching some fish where we ain't been catching nothing.
Well, they're starting to move finally. Everything's running late, man, all this movement and everything.
Dude, we ain't had no front still really right now.
Oh, I know.
You know, you think about it. But we talked about it, you know, when that water temperature drops off, whether fishing's been crappy or not, you're getting in the time of year, even when there ain't no fish, you still can catch them. It's still good fishing, you know. I'd much rather fish this time of year, really. I ain't.
Warmest water I'm showing, James, you getting back to that water temperature. Pier 21 shows 78. This morning, Eagle Point 72 and Morgan's Point up my way 76. So it did warm up quite a bit.
Yeah. I'd be willing to bet you. Well, I'm fishing my little boat, so I ain't in the water, but it's probably 70, 71.
Yeah.
which is good, you know. Hey, you know, they like, you get that water between about 50 and 60, they'll bite. They'll bite every day if you don't turn upside down.
Hey, I remember when you and I used to go over to Calcasieu waiting for them big ones in the winter. We caught them one morning when it was 40 degrees. We were freezing to death standing in that water, and you couldn't get a lure back.
You know, that was weird, dude. You know,
fast
like,
as you could work it. They didn't want it slow and rolling and all that. They wanted that thing hopping.
And it was right there that day, that kind of time period there, that week or so. We were all fishing down there, and we got there in the afternoon. We started fishing about, oh, I don't know, it was about noontime. And, man, the water's like this, what you said. It was 41, 42, 43.
It was cold, man.
It was stupid. I said, man, you know, we're here. You're in Sulphur, Texas. You're going to sit in a motel room or you're going to go fishing. So we're fishing, and I'm like, man, this is stupid. And, man, them fish, we didn't catch nothing. And I had a guy on the inside, and I said, well, maybe he'll catch a red. You know, I'm just fishing. And we'd been there about an hour. He hooks a fish. So, well, look, maybe we'll catch, you know, there's red. Man, he had a trout on about 8.5 pounds, and it came off. Well, them fish crawled up in there, and that sun was out. All that stuff you read about, oh, man, the sun comes out, and it goes shallow, all that stuff. Well, they did, dude. You know, when you got a lot of fish, and it is kind of textbook, it works like that. Them fish crawled up on that bank. You know where I'm talking about, in that cove.
Oh, and they crawled right. What are you talking about?
In about knee-deep water, and, buddy, at 5 o'clock, you can't get a lure back.
Nope.
I'm like, man, check this out. Hey, them couple of years that run we had over there, brother, that was probably as good a big trout fishing as you'd ever see anywhere.
The only thing I ever saw better than that was 83 here in Galveston, and then second to that was Sabine Lake.
Sabine, when y'all had that run.
Oh, man, I had about a three-year roll over there that it was just stupid.
I don't know how many 8-pounders was caught. Hey, and that old water be fresh and cold and nasty.
It didn't matter, boy. That tide would go out, and that warm water would come out of them marsh and them bayous and everything and roll down that shoreline. Them fish would just ignite. It's like pouring gas on a fire.
You know, all them places that everybody ended up wading in Calcasieu, you and I, there was about a handful of us that actually found all them places.
Oh, yeah. We trial and errored that. We learned that the hard way, the old-fashioned way.
Remember me and you and somebody, and this, what about this spot? Look at them streaks out there.
Yeah.
We ain't never been here.
Let's jump out.
Hey, you walked out there in that streak, and if you didn't catch 50 fish, yeah, I was on the inside because I didn't want to get wet. And, hell, I was catching them. I wasn't even on nothing. I said, man, they're here. There's a bunch of them here.
Hey, I couldn't take it anymore. I kept watching them mullet flip out of that streak out there. And I think I went out there, I had a catch 2,000 on. And you couldn't get it back. I mean, I could lose a 5-pounder, and I just keep working my lure, and then a 6-pounder pile on it. I said, man, I've died and gone to heaven right here, buddy.
That was unbelievable. I weighed a kid's fish. We were way down there on that south end, and he was a friend of Trimble's nephew.
Right.
And I weighed him. I saw his stringer. We pulled up there, and we were talking to him. This may have been my first or second trip wading down there. I don't know if I'm going to get ate by an alligator. I don't know if I'm falling in a hole. I don't know nothing. We're just going. I said, man, let me weigh them fish. And I think I'm right. He had a 9.8, a 9.12, and I think he had he was either 10.1 or 10.2. I don't remember.
I remember
those
that.
Those are the three that I weighed.
He caught those at the Bayou Mouse, I think.
Yeah, on that south end where those pilings were. Remember where you got stuck that time?
That's right where there. I got stuck on the bank. You and Dana dumped me off with y'all's crew, and we're wading down the shoreline, and I look up, and y'all go back, and y'all get in Dana's boat and head way down, you know, north of us and get out. And I told him, I said, boys, I'll go back and get the boat. I'll come pick y'all up. I went back to get your boat. I said, well, I'll just ease in this little cove here behind these pilings. Get up on the bank
plan.
And carry my stringer down the bank. Well, that didn't work out too good. I ended up having to crawl out of that hole. I got wet twice that day because of that.
Oh, man, I laughed.
That cold ride that night, it was 38 degrees, and I'm soaking wet with all my gear on, and we're headed back to the ferry to pull out. Oh, that was one miserable ride. That's the worst boat ride I ever had in my life. I thought I was going to freeze to death.
That sun went down, it got cold. Hey, but you know, y'all were accustomed to watching me get wet because I stayed wet all the time. But watching you get wet was kind of fun because you never got wet.
I know, but I did that day. Buddy, I'm glad I brought a change of clothes, but it didn't work out anyway. I rode home wet. Well, I rode home in my underwear back to Baytown.
We made a lot of bad runs when we were
had
traveling.
That heater going, though.
Hey, you know, and that's what I told people. I said, look, you know, I don't do it anymore. I'm either going to catch them at home or I won't catch them. But back in the day, if we could catch some big ones, we traveled. We didn't care where
we did.
It was.
We, hey, we loaded long. Up and took off. It didn't matter.
But I told people, I said, look, I'm not driving into where there's a lot of people. We'd left to go catch big trout and not be around nobody. And those places were like that then. You know, I'm going to drive somewhere to go to Matagorda. Even when Matagorda was big time, wasn't nobody fishing there. You drive to Matagorda now, you're going into a storm. I ain't going down there.
No, I understand. Well, hey, man, you going to pop out today? You going to go?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I really need to see what the water looks like. I'm not going where I'm fishing, you know, catching all them fish early in the morning. It's too rough. It's no good.
Yeah,
so
northeast
going
wind's
going to
get you. Mm-hmm. All right, well, all right, I got to roll out of here.
Report.
Yeah, you bet, buddy. Man. James, good luck today, and, hey, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to go to the bottom and wade some mud with you.
Oh, yeah, heads up. I met one of your guys, man, eating last night. He said, man, you James? I'm like, man, I don't know who this dude is. Anyway, it was a dude named Matt Holder. I think he's
Matt, he's good man. People. He's a good guy, man.
Good dude. Just heads up then. He was a really nice guy.
I call him the drone man, the cameraman. He's into that drone stuff.
Oh, we had to take pictures last night.
Oh, yeah. He's a camera freak. All right, buddy.
Okay, man. 409-935-7242. Holla at you.
All right. Good luck today. All right, man. See you. All right. That's Captain Plog finishing it up, rolling her up here at Sports Radio 610 on the Outdoor Show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early. Right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.